I kind of separated it up a little bit, so I think it'll be okay.
Okay. I just don't want to step on your toes. Your well-prepared toes.
My size 7 toes. Alright. Let's fucking get it, dude. Hey there, hi there, ho there. You're welcome as can be. UMP. Forever let us hold our banners high, 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 high. Come along and sing a song. Join the jamboree. UMP. Huh?
That was pretty good.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You're like the modern day Macklemore.
Yeah. If he was alive now, that would be what he would sound like. Let me close this. Jeremy, it is Friday, the 10th day in the month of May. What do you have to say for yourself?
Fucking Friday, baby.
That's it? That's what you have to say for yourself?
Thank God it's Friday. You know, a little TGIF. Whoa. I don't know if you used to watch TGIF when you were a child.
Shouts out to Katy Perry, I think. Is that Katy Perry?
I'm sorry, what?
Thank God it's Friday. Last Friday night.
No, I
don't
know.
It's Katy Perry, last Friday night, TGIF. I was right.
No, I mean, I'm speaking to like the early 90s ABC television thing where they would like play all their shows on Friday night, and it was called mm-hmm. TGIF.
Right. I chose to completely ignore what you said.
Yeah.
And I added
something. I know you're a big Katy Perry guy.
Topical.
But...
Yeah. Yeah, that people actually care about.
Yeah, Katy Perry, very topical.
Yes. The Katy Perry discourse, it can be hot and it can be cold. Okay. So a lot has transpired. It's transpired.
Speaking of hot and cold.
A lot has transpired since we last spoke to our beloved audience. Damn, dude, what's wrong with me? It's because I haven't had any.
We do not have enough time to discuss that.
No, it's fair. So it's only been a week, but it feels like years have passed by.
Mm. Yeah.
Whenever I'm with you, though, Jeremy, time seems to stand still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so since our last episode, your Seattle Mariners have played 7 ball games against 2 ball clubs, and we are here to tell you ball about it. On the 3rd of May, the Mariners, let's just run through it real quick, and we'll try to talk about it. On the 3rd of May, the M's rolled into the land of 12.7 million head of cattle, the beef state, sometimes referred to as Texas, for a 3-game set with the Astros in the city of Houston, where even the bayous are filled with lean. Game 1 saw George the Serial Chiller, and when I say that, I don't mean he like hangs out, I mean he's like ice cold. Does that make sense? I don't want to be misconstrued. Okay. Kirby, he went toes to toes with Ronel Blanc toes. Seattle took a 1-0 lead in the 3rd. Little holo, some run shot, Polanco. Jorge Polanco won dinger. The Stros would clap back in the bottom of the 4th, but with a ground out by Pena, which you shouldn't even get points for that. It's stupid, not as cool as a home run.
Yeah.
Pena plated Yordan Alvarez. Must have been a big plate. All right. Seattle answered right back in the 5th when Dylan Manscaped Moore mashed a dinger, and it was good for 2 scores because Rayleigh got to go home with him. From the 7th inning on, this game would become a comedy of errors. Jesus fucking Christ, what an inning. Cal Raleigh decided that even he's human, and he threw a baseball away like it was moldy bread. That allowed a run to score, I think, Jeremy Pena, sorry. Houston would then tie the ball game on a sac fly from Mauricio Dubon. And that's because Julio was really excited to see Mitch in the outfield, and he ran up and gave him a big hug. Well, Mitch was trying to catch that fly ball. It's okay to be excited. But we need to tell Julio that there's a time and a place. Then Altuve would bunt in a run, and May would get another one on a bases loaded walk. That was an inning to forget. Astros take game 1, 5-3. So, final line for Kirby. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earny, no walks, but just 3 strikeouts, so he gave you a chance to win, and you had a chance to win until that 7th inning.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, the bullpen. Like we'll get into this a little bit more, but it's been a little bit of a theme. Been a little shakier these last couple things. I mean, I don't think anyone expected a group of guys you've never heard of to continue being like the best bullpen in baseball. So that was a bummer to see.
Yeah, that was maybe the worst inning of the year.
Yeah, for the bullpen for sure.
Definitely. Well, I mean the rally error or Cal throwing error. Julio running into Haniger. Now I don't know if Haniger would have been able to throw the runner out at the plate, but he does have a good arm, so you never know.
Yeah, he has a good arm and he had the better angle. Like I mean I think they both said they couldn't hear each other, but I don't know. I feel like we're just having deja vu. We've seen this with a handful of Mariner outfielders just running into each other, and it's silly.
It's been a sort of a thing for Julio as well.
Yeah, and it was Jared before that. I remember Jared running over Mitch a few times in the same scenario where it's like, yeah, the center fielder gets, like, they're in charge, but if the right fielder is underneath the ball and, like, preparing to get into a throw, like, let him fucking have it, man.
Though maybe Julio's been watching Haniger's defense over the last couple weeks.
Possibly. But ultimately, I don't think that actually affected anything.
That doesn't run through Julio's mind at the last second. He doesn't say, well, Mitch bobbled a ball six games ago.
I just mean, like, them running into each other. I don't think it actually changed anything in the game. I don't think they were going to throw him out.
No, but it eliminated the opportunity, and I love to dream.
Yes. Putouts at home are the best play in baseball, so.
That's true. It's really fun. Game 2, Electric Boogaloo, was a lot more fun in the indoor sun as the Mariners would ride a shutdown performance by Logan Gilbert into the sunset of a 5-0 win. Let's see. Gilbert's line in the Texas sand. That's an Alamo joke, never forget. 8 innings of 2 hits, no runs, 4 walks, and 6 strikeouts. It's 4 walks more than you'd like to see, but they didn't make him pay for it. They're very cheap walks. So the Mariners got their runs on dingers by Cal and Urias, an RBI double by Carver, RBI double by Garver, and they got a run on a grounded to a double play. I think that was Cal also. No RBI for you, Cal. I learned things. Game 3, Miller, Brycey, Brown. It's like Bobby Miller, Brown Miller. So, Bryce Miller versus Verlander Lite. Neither of these fine young gentlemen had their best stuff, but fortunately for Hunter Brown, the Mariners opted to go 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Rough. But fortunately, they did go three. They scored 2 runs in the second with a bases-loaded walk by BB Girl Urias, an RBI single by future Hall of Famer Rosh Johas. And fast forward a little bit to the 6th inning, where Luke Raley let it hang and donged his first bomb of the year, giving the Mariners a 3-0 lead. So Bryce Miller, he held the Astros off the board until the 6th, when Country Boys Do It Different Kyle Tucker dinged him for a 2-run shot. Then in the 7th, Miller gave up another 2-run home run, this time to John Singleton, and the Astros took the lead 4-3. So, God, all year, we'll stop for a little second here just because I wanted to point out that how many times this season have we heard, why did Scott pull that pitcher? He had another inning in him, and
yeah.
I don't have an opinion either way. I just think it's very funny that Scott was finally like, you know what? You should go out for the 7th. Yeah. Oh, God. It's almost like it's random. Yeah, Miller was doing pretty good up until then. I mean,
yeah, he was super efficient. He got kind of lucky in the 6th, too. It probably would have been a 3-run homer if it weren't for Julio making that good catch on Mr. Cabbage Patch Kid, who took it into the gap towards the garage door.
Which one's the Cabbage Patch Kid?
Trey Cabbage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I mean
it's rough with the young guy, putting him back out for the 7th, you know, and it was the home run was, you know, John Singleton, and he took a fucking shit on the ball.
Yeah, it's It is what it is. I think he was, that was the game he was super, super efficient throughout. Mm-hmm. I think he was at like 60 pitches through six innings or some shit.
Yeah, something like that.
And then so they sent him back out and it just kind of all unraveled because he only threw 82, even after getting pulled. But, you know, you look at the box score and it's like, oh, six innings pitched, six hits, four runs, one walk, only three Ks. And you're like, eh, it was okay. Not great. But yeah, if you were to ask in like the fifth inning, you'd be like, this is the greatest start of his career.
cookie cut it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can blame anyone for that. Houston, they've been bad this year, but they still have good hitters. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it happens. I think the important thing is you punched back on that one, I guess. So.
You wouldn't think that John Singleton would be one of the ones that you're talking about.
No.
But... So the Mariners, that was in the seventh inning, it's 4-3 Astros. The Mariners wasted no time in responding as Luis, I love you so much, Urias, plated Dylan Moore with an RBI single. The Astros then brought in Josh, don't check my tweets, hater, to hold the tie in the ninth. But Cal had other ideas, and he just hit the living fuck out of a baseball, put it up in the Crawford boxes, planted it up there. And then Munoz came in to close it down. So Mariners win 5-4 as the woes of the Stros continue, which is nice to see. And it's always nice to take it to the Astros, march into H-Town, rename it to M-Town.
Yeah, very much so. Especially if anytime you can, score in the ninth off Hader to win the game, it's a win.
This season, though, it seems like Hader's just handing him out in the ninth. But
yeah. As someone who has him on his fantasy roster, I'm well aware.
he's improving a little bit. Cal maybe will.
He is. He is.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a fun series. It's fun to. Houston is the most fun team to beat. It's more fun than beating Atlanta or LA. It's just, you know, there's reasons for it. It's a lot of fun. Yordan Alvarez didn't hurt you that much that series, so that's. Something to be thankful for. Altuve didn't hurt you that much. A bunt, you know. But other than that, nice to see. You know, that was the sixth consecutive series win?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you kind of just did what you had to do with Houston, which is their pitching has been pretty poor. They're starting to get healthy, but I think you missed most of the guys who are just getting healthy, like Verlander and the other one. I forget his name. The one who just came off the aisle.
We did get Framber, but we didn't get Garcia, or is Garcia?
Yeah. Out? Or Javier.
Yeah, that's the one. We did get Framber. I don't think we got Javier.
Yeah, but I mean, they had 27 hits in three games. Like, that's good. It feels like it's trending in the right direction. You're in a stadium where you should get hits against a pitching staff where you should get hits.
Yeah.
Put up 27 hits. You struggled to get them across all the time, specifically in that Saturday game, like you mentioned. Super frustrating just watching. Was it Saturday or Sunday? Sunday. Either way, it felt like... No, it was Sunday, because Framber was Saturday.
Hunter Brown was the final game of the series?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it just felt like you left the fucking bases loaded like every inning for the first like three or four innings. And it's just super frustrating despite the fact that you put up 10 hits. Like, you look at the box score and you can't be mad. You had 10 hits and four walks, but you would like to see more than five runs when you have those sort of base runners handed to you. But ultimately you suppress their offense enough, hit off their pitching enough, and took the series.
Well, that's the issue, though, right, where, and it's going to come into play the next series, when your pitching reaches the end of a historic stretch and they need a little help, you absolutely have to score more off of someone that's struggling as much as Hunter Brown. I mean, it should have been, and, you know, not to give too much away, but it's what the Twins did yesterday. So you have to cash it in as much as you can, because even in this game, in the seventh, the Astros took the lead I mean, this should have been a blowout. It shouldn't have been. It's hard to complain about winning two games, and you won this game. But that's what you want to see, is you want to see a team that can score five runs in the first inning when it is presented to them on it. I mean, he loaded the bases with no outs in the first inning.
Yeah, it's just, and you got, what, two runs in that? And I think one of them was from a walk or something like that.
And then they didn't score again until the sixth, even though they were all over the bases.
Yeah, and it's just the main offensive issues that we've seen, which is they aren't consistent enough 1 through 9, despite what Jerry said in the offseason about it being the deepest lineup ever.
Ever.
Period. But yeah, you just can't string together hits. It feels like you have like three good hitters every game, and we don't ever know who they are, except for one of them is Josh Rojas.
One of them will always be Josh Rojas.
Forever. But yeah, so you really are relying on home runs right now, which we've gotten from Cal. You've gotten a little bit from Rayleigh.
Garver.
Yeah, a couple from Garver, occasionally from Haniger. So, live and die by the long ball, I guess, but you sacrificed some power to supposedly cut down on strikeouts this year, and you're just right back where you were last year with players that probably have less power.
Worse off than last year, actually, with the strikeouts.
Yeah. In theory, better off, but yeah.
From Texas, the Mariners flew to the land of many rakes for a 4-game set at the Minnesota Twins. Game one, let's see. Yeah, Castillo gave Seattle a fighting chance. You know, 6.2 innings. He gave up 3 runs, but 3 runs on 3 hits and 3 walks to the Minnesota triplets. Unfortunately, I mean, 3 runs is 3 runs, you know. He gave you a shot. It wasn't his best outing, but unfortunately, his rival on the other side was the household name, the ace, Simeon Woods Richardson. The household ace, Simeon DeGrom Woods Richardson, who mowed down Seattle's offense, striking out 8 over 6 innings, no runs, 1 hit. In fact, the Mariners, they managed to get just 1 run out of that whole game, which was a sac fly by Mitch Garver, which, you know, Twins win 3-1. Don't want to talk about that one too much.
Yeah, you say Castillo held him to 3 runs, but the Mariners were held to 3 hits.
Yeah.
So
that's what,
yeah,
I'm talking about. If you
at times
if your pitcher somehow can't be the greatest thing that has ever happened, you gotta help him out just a little bit.
Yeah.
At least keep it close, you know.
Yeah.
Game two would prove to be a palate cleanser, as it seemed that the Mariners' sticks had woken from their sleepy whittle slumber. Because they put 10 runs on the board in game two. Started out early with Mitch Haniger hitting the ball over the wall. So left center field. But wait, there's more, as Dylan tacked on an RBI double in that inning as well. So 2-0 Mariners. But here is exactly what we're talking about. Unfortunately for Hancock, he wasn't sharp in his final 4 innings. His final 4 innings before demotion, gave up 4 runs on 4 hits. All 4 were earned. 4. The Twins took the lead 4-2 in the third on a Ryan Jeffers ding-dong. Thank God he's on my fantasy squad. At this point, it really felt like the game could be over. Hancock looked bad. The Mariners offense, you know, stranding people, getting shut down by, yeah. So, it looked like it was over. I mean, you know, that's a Mariners fan thing. Being down 2, you're just kind of like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially at that point, you've already thrown, like, Spire and Voth, and, you know, you're getting into the part of the bullpen where you're probably not going to throw Stanek and Munoz if you're down a few runs, so you're kind of holding your breath with the Tyson Millers of the world. And I feel like this is kind of that first game where the bullpen really started to turn as you see their usage go up.
Yeah.
They've had such a long stretch of only needing like 1 or 2 relievers to get through 8 or 9 innings that it's, I think, benefited them a lot. And then you see games like this, Hancock only goes 4 and they have to use 6 guys out of the bullpen, and, you know, not ideal.
It's crazy how much the starting pitching helps, it just helps the relievers too, because they're not overexposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like it was over, but as we know, Four's company and Big Dumper gave the Mariners four runs and a lead on a grand slam in the seventh. So hitting with runners in scoring position is cool and hip. They kept adding runs. You know, it was a 10-6, I think, was the final. So it felt good. Probably, is that the highest scoring game of the year?
It's got to be. I think they may. Yeah, probably.
At least tied for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Game three, the game where every run scored by either team came on extra base hits. Unfortunately for Seattle, the Twins hit more of them. So this is the continuing of the unraveling of starting pitching. Kirby gave up three solo home runs. I mean, he went through, what, five innings, four yeah. runs, all earned, four hits, four walks, four strikeouts. Interesting. On the other side of the ball, unfortunately for Kirby, the Mariners were dominated for 5.1 innings by Chris Paddock, who struck out 10 and only allowed one run, the Mitch Garver solo shot, I think. And then, Paddock gave up, he allowed eight hits, but the Mariners decided to let him off easy this time.
Yep.
So they lose 6-4, and this ends their series win streak at six.
I was a little surprised that they pulled Kirby after five in that game, especially after the day before when they used most of their bullpen. He was only at 70 pitches. I think he had just kind of gotten through the fifth, 1-2-3. Admittedly, I did not get to watch most of this game. But yeah, I was a little surprised they yanked Kirby after the five innings. So I wonder if that knee that they've mentioned, I don't know if maybe that was bothering him, not to excuse the results, like he wasn't sharp, but I thought they would have kind of just let him eat it and rest the bullpen a little bit. But yeah, they had a shot, stranded too many guys.
Mariners lose 6-4. Yes. All right, so then you got game four. You're hoping for the series split. It seems reasonable because Logan Gilbert's on the mound, who has been not only the best starting pitcher on the Mariners, but one of the best starting pitchers in baseball. Unfortunately, Gilbert chose this game to struggle immensely. He turned in his worst performance of the season, allowing eight earned runs on nine hits, two walks, and four strikeouts. Rough day for Gilb. On the other side, if you can't get to the Chris Paddocks of the world, good luck with the Pablo Lopez's. Because he threw the balls for the Twins. More than one ball. They rotate him in and out, you know, the umpire. So he threw it very well. He allowed just one run on four hits in 6.1 innings. No walks. And look at that, 10 strikeouts. So Mariners lose 10-1. Not good odds. And they lose the series. So the team, they were riding pretty high for a while there. Six series wins in a row. That felt good.
Yeah.
And this Twin series really fucking knocked the wind out of you.
Yeah, we kind of see what happens when that unsustainable historic stretch of starting pitching that you mentioned falters a little bit. Obviously, yesterday's game was, I would consider that an anomaly. I don't think you're going to see the starting pitching for the Mariners give up eight runs very often. Can't fault the offense on that one. That being said, they scored one. So it still sucks. Like, I didn't expect them to score 12 and win that game, but you'd like to see them put up a little more of a fight after falling down early. But that feels like one of those games you just got to chalk up to, like, it wasn't your day. All the games before that is, yeah, that's where it's frustrating, where you're just not able to hang with teams when they get runs off your starters.
Yeah, five runs in the first, I believe, is what the Twins put up. So that's rough. You know, at that point, you just kind of got to do your best. But, I mean, outside of that, like you said, the offense simply must improve. I understand that the starting pitching fell off a little bit in that series, or a lot, you know, and fell off of its historic fucking run. But that's one thing, you know. Striking out 53 times in four games is unacceptable.
I feel like every time I look at the box score, the opponent starter has, like, 10 strikeouts, which is wild. It's wild.
53 times in four games?
Yeah. Especially when you have guys that are supposed to be more contact-based based hitters. I mean, even Josh Rojas, like, he struck out through the month of May so far. He has 7 strikeouts and 26 at-bats. Like, everybody is striking out. Like, we know Rayleigh's going to strike out. He's striking out, like, half the time. But
Haniger's striking out quite a bit, too, yeah.
Man, yeah, everybody. Yeah, Julio, Cal, everybody.
Pablo Lopez is one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're when you're facing that rotation, nothing against those guys. I mean, Bailey Ober has a lot of potential. Simeon Woods Richardson has started out pretty good, I guess. It's just not. I mean, if 53 strikeouts in four games, you better be facing like prime DeGrom, followed by Glasnow, followed by It's not. I mean, that's like an all-star game. You'd think of pitching.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It's Chris Paddock.
If your offense can't be competitive against the literal Minnesota Twins, like, you're just not good enough, you know? Like, I mean, there's nothing else to say. Like, the Twins are fine. I think they're a decent team. They will probably battle Cleveland for the Central, but I think coming into this season, you would have expected them to be on par or a little worse than the Mariners.
Yeah, they didn't do very much in the offseason.
Yeah, if anything, they shed some talent with Polanco, although
if he was still there, he'd be raking.
Probably, you know, Minnesota, they don't have the marine layer. It's nice and warm and the ball flies, right?
The land of many rakes.
Yeah, I kind of pulled up the May stats. I know it's early 10 games in for the Mariners offense, just kind of see what's going on. And there's a couple guys that have turned it on a little bit, mostly Rayleigh and Garver. Rayleigh has a 945 OPS in May, and Garver has a 900 OPS in May, which I think is good news. I feel like Garver's at-bats have been pretty good lately. This is in 24 at-bats for him, so decent little sample. Rayleigh has had less, 15 at-bats, but we saw them play Rayleigh at first yesterday and give Ty the day off. I think they need to do that a little more because Ty just continues to trend down. He's got a 579 OPS in the month of May.
I actually completely forgot about him until you said that. We didn't mention his name a single time in that.
No, there's nothing nice to say about him at all because...
Not offensively, not defensively.
No, it's not on the bases. That's
fortunately,
sure.
He's a great base runner.
Yeah. But yeah, I think overall the offense in May has looked a little better. I think it's largely propped up by Houston, so we'll see what they do back in Seattle this weekend. But yeah, they just need to be better. I mean, we've said it a million times. This team's not going to go anywhere unless, you know, Garver and mostly just Garver and Polanco and obviously Julio start to hit more.
Yeah. Julio needs to start getting his extra base hits up. It was good to see him start contact. And I think we talked about that in a previous episode where he's just trying to hit the living fuck out of it, and he needed to calm down and start hitting singles and get it. And so he did that, and now he's trying to make the jump.
Yeah, it feels like this is the second time we've seen this cycle now, which is Julio struggles. And then he makes an adjustment, and he starts hitting the ball the other way, and he tallies some singles, and then he tries to start pulling the ball and hitting it with more authority, and he struggles again. And then he goes back to hitting it the other way, and I feel like that's the part of the cycle we're on right now, where he's been kind of hitting it the other way a little bit more. He's got a 281 average this month, 378 on base. Those are great for Julio. But he's slugging 313. So we're at that point where he needs to try and start pulling the ball, getting it in the air, and hitting it harder. And we'll see if he can do it. If it's anything like it last month, he'll start striking out and not getting hits again.
We're a month and a half in, maybe even a little more, and Julio Rodriguez has one home run.
Yeah,
it's so bad. It's not exciting.
No.
Some bright spots, obviously Josh Rojas, Cal. Cal's been, I mean, just the clutch gene, I think.
Yeah.
If there's, like, he either has, like, a crazy frustrating at bat. He's just like the full spectrum of batter where you're like, dude, like, what did you just do? You took in that game, you took three called strike threes, like in every at bat. I don't understand. Or he'll foul off nine before he strikes out, or he'll just, you know, score every run that's on the bases. So,
yeah, he's a fascinating baseball player because, like, he's sixth on your team this month with a 777 OPS, and he's hitting 148. So he has the opportunity to just crush balls even when he's not hitting well. He impacts the game with those home runs, but you need him to be more like he was these last couple years where he's getting on base a little more and getting hits a little more often, which is just a broken record for this offense. So.
Yeah, boy. Okay. So up next, starting today, got three with the Athletics at home and three with the Royals at home. And if you asked me on March 20th, I would have said, perfect, take 5 of 6. But with how those teams are playing and with the bad taste of that Twin series, it's a little bit more intimidating than it should be. But yeah. I have good thoughts. I have good hopes, good dreams, large hopes, large dreams. Because
get to see Brian Wu tonight.
That's true. That's true. And you got to take over half of these because after that you're on the road at the Orioles and the Yankees, the two best teams in the American League right now. And then you got to go to the Nationals, which. Just for some reason, they're not supposed to be very good, but for some reason, I see them just killing the Mariners. I see Mackenzie Gore striking out 12. you know, I just see it being rough. So, and then 4 with Houston after that, in Seattle. So
yeah, Nationals remind me a little of the Reds, which obviously you swept them, but they're more fun and more talented than they are good. So, It'll be interesting to see that one, but yeah, you have to take 4 out of 6 over the next 6 games,
or 6 out of 6. You know, that's fine.
Yes,
you want to win 6 in a row. I mean, that's the Athletics have won 6 in a row this year. Multiple bad teams have done that. Why can't our bad team do that? They're not that bad.
That's kind of what happens though when you. Don't split against Minnesota when, by all accounts, like you should probably split that series based on pitching matchups and the quality of teams. But when you lose one, you lose 3 games to 1, then you are going to have to sweep a team coming up. So you got to make that game up somewhere. And this is where you're probably going to make it up because I don't see you sweeping Baltimore or the Yankees. So.
Yeah, a 4-game set with the Yankees is, yeah.
Yeah, you got to stack some wins here so that if you do drop a couple there, then it's not going to kill you. But
well, the Yankees is a bad matchup for us because the offense is really good. And the pitching isn't, but the pitching does get a lot of strikeouts outside of Stroman. So it's just like, what is his name? Gill? He strikes out quite a few guys, like an average of 7 or something like that. Schmidt, same thing. So it's just kind of scary. So as of right now, the Mariners are 2nd in the AL West, below the Rangers, and right above the Oakland Athletics. So they're a game and a half back. Texas made them pay for that Minnesota series.
Yeah, Oakland's been pretty good. It's going to be tough. You got Blackburn tonight. I know I'm excited to watch Wu, but Blackburn's been good. He's a good starter, so I think tonight's going to be a tough one. Then you've got Miller and Castillo, so you'll see Miller looking for a little bounce back. I think the A's are prone to strikeouts, similar to the Mariners. So
yeah, they're like second most.
Yeah, so let's hope you can take advantage of that. It's going to be warm in Seattle, so the ball's probably going to fly a little bit more. So I don't want to hear about the fucking marine layer if you don't score 6 runs. But you just need guys to step up. I know I put out a poll on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, let's do this.
with a couple blind players.
Which makes it really hard to play baseball.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, I'd argue that a lot of the Mariners may need to see their optometrist. But yeah, I put out player A and player B. Player A, slash line of 223, 302, 365, which makes a 657 OPS. 22 stolen bases, 28.3% K percentage, 9% walk rate. Player B, 259, 340, 306, with a 646 OPS. 42 stolen bases, only 16.2% K rate, and a 10.5% walk rate. So at first glance, what do you think of these two players? Pretty similar?
I think that Jerry would trade for either of them. I think I don't want either of them. But who, remind me who the people chose?
Yeah, so the people chose player B, which when you look at him, player B actually has an OPS that's a little bit lower, but a much lower walk rate, higher on base, higher batting average, and almost double the amount of steals.
Do you
Sorry,
say
I said it lower
lower?
walk rate. I meant
Yes,
lower
strikeout.
strikeout
I
rate.
got you. Yeah.
Yeah, slightly above on the walk rate. So I think this might be a little reactionary. It's
Oh.
the opposite of what we're watching right now, where people are tired of strikeouts. They want more people on base. They want to string hits together. So I think that's why the people chose B. 92% of the people chose B
How many votes do you know?
out of 327 votes. So a pretty sizable audience
Yeah.
wants player B.
Could have held Thermopylae.
Yeah, player A, who only got 8% of the votes, is the 2024 Seattle Mariners as a whole. So you are slashing 223, 302, 365. Only 22 steals, 28.3% K rate, which is wild as a team.
Hold on. If you are in line to vote for the 2024 Seattle Mariners, stay in line.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Your vote counts.
They're not going to win. They might win the popular vote, but they're probably going to lose the yeah, anyways. Player B, who won with 92% of the votes, is all-time great Seattle Mariner Sean Figgins. So that is 2010 Sean Figgins specifically, which is his first year in Seattle. You're not familiar with Sean Figgins. I'm jealous of your existence. He is, I would say, widely considered one of the all-time worst Mariner acquisitions. And 92% of you would prefer him to the 2024 Seattle Mariners. So, yeah, that's I think that kind of summarizes just how bad this offense has been.
Okay. Wow. Well, Jeremy, that was a really dirty, underhanded, fucked up thing to do to people.
Yeah.
Really shows how sick you are. And I'm gonna be completely honest. I still have faith because I'm a little sicko too. And unfortunately, I'm gonna have to wrap this up soon because I have 8 stitches in my ear, and this headphone is really not feeling great. But we will be back next week. They'll actually have a day off, so we will get an episode out there. I'll try to bust this one out in like an hour. But now, if you're listening, you wouldn't know that. You don't even know what time it is right now, unless you're in the live stream. And then,
12:53.
great, thanks.
So that before we go, that little comparison, I was looking at players to compare to the Mariners. My first thought was Nori Aoki because I thought that'd be
Yeah.
funny. Except Nori Aoki blew the 2024 Mariners out of the water. Like it's not even fucking close. Like he's so much better than the Mariners are. If we had 9 Nori Aokis right now, we would be like 30. We would be in first place. Not even close.
8 Nori Aokis, 1 Josh Rojas.
Oh yeah, we'd be the greatest team ever.
Greatest team
So,
ever compiled.
perspective, more Nori Aokis.
What do we need? More Aoki. All right, not Steve, we want Nori. For those about to get forked, we salute you. Let's take 6 of 6. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Thumbs up doesn't work for you, buddy. You suck at this.
Yeah, fuck off.
Whatever, dude. I'm sick and tired of your attitude. How do I? Oh, fuck it. think my trackpad died. This episode is just going to go on forever. Oh, God. Trackpad off. Oh, this is so embarrassing. Stop listening. If you're listening, stop listening. Turn it off.
That is embarrassing.
Close the app. If you're listening, turn it off.